Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in the latest report from Wealth Disparity Nation, the rich aren't only getting richer and the poor poorer. The rich are now getting healthier and the poor sicker. Check out these stats in a new study by City Controller William Thompson on changes in the last decade. This compares 1995 and 2005. And I should say up front that Thompson is probably running for mayor and he's on this tear right now of issuing class-based reports. But still, here it is. Comparison of the top one-sixth and the bottom one-sixth of New Yorkers by income. Congestive heart failure for the bottom one-sixth, up by 20%. For the top sixth, down by 8%. They're not even going in the same direction. Same with cancer hospitalizations and cancer deaths. The bottom six, cancer hospitalizations, up 6%. Top sixth, down 13%. Cancer deaths up 4%, 3 or 4% for the bottom sixth, down 5% for the top sixth. Diabetes hospitalizations. Listen to this. The bottom sixth by income, diabetes hospitalizations up 42% in the last decade and about unchanged for the top one-sixth. Some pretty incredible statistics. And interestingly, there are a few bright spots for everyone in this report that I also want to tell you about. Stunning, really, and they seem to relate to policies of Mayor Bloomberg. Childhood asthma hospitalizations for the poorest sixth, down 47%. For the top sixth, down 35%. That's childhood asthma hospitalizations. And heart disease deaths in New York City, down 10% for the bottom group, down 20% for the top group. And there is some talk that that's from the mayor's smoking ban. How about that? That'll get some debate going. But let's talk about these statistics, what they mean and what they imply for public policy with Dr. Nick Freudenberg. He's a public health professor at Hunter College and president of the Public Health Association of New York City. Dr. Freudenberg, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Good morning.
First, your big picture interpretation from this chart.
Well, I think it's not a surprise. There's been New York is the most unequal city in the nation, and we've long been characterized by disparities in health and the increase in concentration of wealth at the top of the social stratum leads to changes in health. I think there's a public health 101 is that the primary determinant of the health condition of a population is their living conditions.
And but I would think that we would at least be going in the same direction. So we are, for example, with some of these things, like the improvement in childhood asthma admissions. They're way down for the richer folks. They're way down for the poorer folks. But in some of these other things that I was reading, like cancer hospitalizations, up by 6% for the poorest, down by 13% for the richest among us. Why does that happen?
Well, I think that indicates this both the successes of policy in the case of asthma and the failures of policy in some of these other cases. What we saw around childhood asthma was a concerted effort by the city to bring together people in public health, in the Health and Hospitals Corporation, in the various housing agencies to really get at some of the root causes of asthma. And when we paid attention to that, put resources into it, we saw a decline in hospitalizations. On the other hand, the trend we've seen in the nation is that people losing coverage for the primary and preventive care that will allow people to detect chronic diseases, particular cancer, early, and to take action to prevent later deaths.
We can open up the phones on this as well. If you're in the top sixth, bottom sixth, or the second through fifth sixth, for that matter, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Anyone in the healthcare professions, anyone else, 212-433-9692 for Dr. Freudenberg, president of the New York Public Health Association. The report by the controller, and I guess you were just starting to get at this, lays this largely at the feet of primary care and preventive care being relatively unavailable for poor people. But is that really still the case? I mean, we've been talking about this ever since I've been doing this show, and each mayor comes in and has their own plan for opening new clinics. Dinkins did, Giuliani did, Bloomberg did. So how is primary care becoming less available for poor people in New York City?
Well, I want to make 2 points, and I'll speak to your question first. I think that what we've seen on the national scale is people losing coverage for health care. So even when there's some improvement in the actual services available, what you have is especially the poorest sectors of the population, the working poor, losing coverage. So they're not able to use and have paid for many of those services. And in addition, our reimbursement mechanisms, and this is true both for the federal programs, Medicaid and Medicare, and the private insurance that a fewer numbers of us now have, they reimburse hospital care, the expensive tertiary care, at much better rates. So we've really underfunded primary care for more than a decade now. And so that makes that care that could make the biggest difference in reducing disparities less available and of less high quality than the most expensive end stage care.
Right. Tertiary care is that
right.
Really very serious disease, often end of life kind of care. But is health insurance...
Can I make another point?
Sure.
That I think it isn't only that we need to make improvements in access to primary and preventive care if we want to reduce these really shocking disparities in health. We also need to look at the underlying conditions. And if there are two things that I could recommend to reduce disparities, one would be to reduce poverty. You know, two-fifths of the children in New York City live in poverty. And we've not made much progress on that front. The mayor has made some good recommendations, but they need to be put into effect to reduce childhood poverty. And the second, the strongest predictor of health is the number of years of schooling that people have. And we have really abysmal school completion rates here in New York City. And if we want to improve health in the longer run, one of the best investments would be reducing school dropout, improving school completion.
Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I wanted to say that when you look through everything through a class prism, it really skews it. The data is not as dire as this professor is saying. Poor people who are going into the hospital for cancer are getting treated, and the fact of the matter is that if you have private insurance, you can do that on an outpatient basis. There's so many areas.
Richard, forgive me, but
it's so wrong.
Richard, forgive me, but it's not just about treatment. Look at this, for example, congestive heart failure for the bottom sixth up 20%, for the top sixth down 8%. You're going to tell me that's good news?
It absolutely is, in the sense that that those in poverty are getting care within quality hospitals. The New York City public hospitals are quality hospitals. They've bettered their quality status over the years. This is all very good news, and the idea that more people are losing their health insurance coverage is really playing with numbers. You know, when you ask those over 65 if they have health insurance, if they don't have a supplemental plan, they say no. And the fact of the matter is that they have Medicare. Now, it doesn't cover 100%. They have some deductibles and coinsurance.
Richard, forgive me, but
Bob,
I think...
You're always forgiven.
The denial is not just the river in Egypt, apparently. You're telling me that it's good news when cancer deaths, actual deaths, are going up among the poorest and down among the richest. And again, that congestive heart failure stat, up 20%. That's the incidence of the disease. That doesn't even reflect treatment. Congestive heart failure up 20% versus down 8%.
Let me talk a little about diabetes, which I think is very instructive. Diabetes is the one cause of death that is increasing, actually, for all income groups in New York City over the last 10 years or so. And I think if we look at diabetes, we see some of the failures, both of our healthcare system and the larger society. And those problems face poor people more, but also wealthier people. And I think it has to do with the quality of care as well as the access to care. And even many better off people are not getting state-of-the-art care for diabetes, the kind of chronic disease management programs that have been demonstrated to make a difference, to reduce complications, to extend life.
But again, to look at the number from this chart, diabetes hospitalizations, they're flat over the last decade for the top sixth of the population by income. They are up more than 40% for the bottom sixth. So doesn't that tell us that the wealthier people with diabetes are getting that chronic care, the preventive care, and the people who are poorer are not, and so they're winding up in the hospital more?
They're getting it at higher rates than poor people, but in fact, the death rates for diabetes are increasing for all. I'm familiar with the racial ethnic data for whites, blacks, and Hispanics. We've seen really an epidemic, and it's driven by our epidemic of obesity, which needs to be addressed outside the healthcare system as well as inside.
But actually, here's a diabetes stat that might actually back up Richard's point to some degree. Diabetes deaths are actually up more for the richest folks than the poorest folks. They are up about 3% for the poorest, up about 6% for the richest. What do you make of that?
Well, I think diabetes has always been a disease of poor people, and we've seen with the increasing rates, more wealthier people are now getting diabetes as a result of our epidemic of obesity.
Right, and maybe Rich has a point that the diabetes hospitalization rate being so different is an indication that the poor people are getting their diabetes treated in the hospital, whereas the richer people are getting treated at their private doctor's offices.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And I do think that there is a wide variety of care available in this city. We do have, you know, the wealthiest healthcare system in the country and probably the world. It's a question of when people get in and what are the services they receive. And I think we could be saving a lot of money as well as improving health by getting more people into earlier intervention.
And Richard, thank you for your call. There is a related story on the same page of the New York Times, at least, as this report from the controller. Report says smoking ban helps to cut heart attacks. And it says government curbs on secondhand smoke in New York led to nearly 4,000 fewer hospital admissions for heart attacks in 2004, according to a new statewide study published in the American Journal of Public Health. Are you familiar with this?
I'm familiar with some of the earlier studies showing that we see, at least for a small number of deaths, a pretty dramatic decrease immediately following smoking bans. And I think that's good news and further support for these policies.
4,000 fewer hospital admissions for heart attacks in 2004. Is it statistically realistic to attribute this to the government curbs on secondhand smoke in New York?
Well, you earlier pointed to the declines in heart disease deaths, and my belief is that the longer-term declines in heart disease that we've seen in this city and this country are supported by our tobacco control measures, but that's not the only or perhaps even the primary cause. It's deeper changes in diet, smoking rates, control of blood pressure, and so the smoking is one component, but not the only one.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's a striking stat, that heart disease deaths in New York City over the last decade for the poorest sixth of the of the public, down 10%. For the wealthiest sixth, down 20%. So, again, the wealthier are doing much better than the poor, but heart disease rates going down for everybody. And yet, at the same time, that diabetes is going up for everybody, which would make you scratch your head about the role of diet in heart disease.
Well, I think we're seeing the sort of different time trends, the rise in obesity among children and young and middle-aged adults. I worry about what the heart disease consequences will be as that fatter generation as we move into our 60s and 70s.
Mary in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with the previous caller, Richard. I mean, I think there's a very big discrepancy in the care the rich, the middle income, and the poor get in this city. My experience is the big problem is navigating the HMOs and whatever kind of a healthcare plan you have, finding what doctors that you can go to. When you find a doctor, then sometimes he's no longer in the plan. and finding you may not get an appointment for a few weeks. Also, on the east side of Manhattan, there's an awful lot of doctors that don't take health insurance. You may go and pay them and hope you might get reimbursed by your health care company later. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the insurance I have. If I wanted to go to Sloan Kettering, it's not accepted there.
Mary, I have to leave it there. We're just about out of time. But Dr. Freudenheim, you want to respond?
Yes, I think it's one more reason why we need a national health plan. And I think the fact that it's being talked about at the national level, that most of the Democrats seem to support some kind of national health plan, means perhaps in the next administration we'll see some progress on this front.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Obamacare versus Hillary Care in the next hour of the program. But real quick, is insurance even the issue when you're looking at the bottom sixth of the population by income? Because isn't that bottom sixth covered by Medicaid almost by definition?
I think insurance for the population as a whole is necessary but not sufficient. We also need to look at the quality of care. And then, as I said, we need to look at poverty and education. And those are the ways that we will reduce these disparities by reducing poverty and increasing educational achievement.
Nick Freudenberg is professor of public health at Hunter College and president of the Public Health Association of New York City. Dr. Freudenberg, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.